Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio. Well, hello, everybody. We welcome you back to CU TV News Radio. Nice to have you with us. I'm Doug Llewellyn, your host, and I'm really excited because we have a fascinating half hour in line for you today. We are about to talk to an intuitive psychic and medium. I love the subject. I love to talk to psychics and learn about how they learned, you know, they were psychic and all about their abilities and things of that nature. If this is something that intrigues you, I implore you, stay tuned. You're going to be fascinated. Our guest is an amazing lady named Christine Scott. She lives in Minnesota, where it is freezing today. I mean, it's 0 degrees. She happens to be a multidimensional intuitive guide and healer, and she's the founder of a practice called Intuitive Connections, where she works with individuals to invite joy into their life through compassion for self. And we'll get an explanation of what that means. Anyway, intuitive means that she connects to something outside of herself, whether it's a higher source or whether it's many higher sources, like angels, ascended masters, that kind of thing. She works with your higher self to give you information that's going to bring you clarity and understanding to your life and your relationships. Now, as a child, Christine thought it was really normal to see, hear, and feel things that were not physically present. She believed that everybody knew, on some level, things that were not verbalized or about to happen. And she has since dedicated her life to working with others who are looking for healing, clarity, and direction. Sometimes she sees people one time only. Others she sees every week for years. But the goal is never to be their guru or their answer. As she puts it, the reason I'm here is to help them find their own answers and then to navigate life with grace and ease. She is sort of a stepping stone, if you want to put it that way. And although she always knew she was gifted and a natural-born psychic, it took a major life event for her to passionately claim these abilities to heal herself and help others on their spiritual path. In 2009, Christine was diagnosed with something that was very critical when you hear something like this. And I'm going to find out that story from her right now. But in any event, her name is Christine Scott. She is an amazing psychic and a medium. And we already have people who are standing by who want to talk to her. The word is out, Christine, that you are on the radio today. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. How are you?
Hi, Doug. It's nice to be here.
Good. I'm glad.
Looking forward to having a conversation. Yeah.
Good. let me first off ask you. I've asked other psychics this. How did you really discover and know that you were psychic? You talked about when you were young. You know, you thought it was normal to see things that weren't physically present. But when did you realize, really, what this amazing ability you have? What it was all about?
When at first. When I really started seeing it as something different and that this is something I needed to pay attention to is when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And when I found the tumor, I just heard really loud and clear in my head that, honey, this is very serious, and you're either going to check out or you're going to start doing the work that you promised to do. At the time, I didn't really even know what the work meant, but I just had a very calm sense of peace, very peaceful, calm feeling. And I knew that I'd be okay, that this was just a kind of a course correction, that I just needed to take some time out to heal. And then the rest would kind of, I just had great faith that the rest would be brought to my attention when it was the best time. And later, after I'd finished my healing and finished my treatment, I should say, I went to, it's funny because I actually went to another psychic. And I said, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? She said, well, I don't really know, but I see you going out west. And as soon as she said the word out west, I heard in my own head, I heard San Francisco, and I saw myself in San Francisco with a small group of people. And I asked her, I said, well, I've heard of this. I keep hearing in my head the term life coach, but I don't even know if that's a real profession or if I'm just making it up or what do you hear. And then she says, well, I'm not really sure, but I just hear you're supposed to go out west and do something that's not a college degree, but you need some certification. So on a wing and a prayer, I went home and I looked up life coaching in San Francisco. I found a great program. I went out there once a month for the next 6 months and learned how to be a life coach. While I was there, I met another wonderful woman who I'll forever be grateful for, Loretta, who was from Chile, and she was psychic. And we were sitting having a conversation one day, and she said, there's a family member behind you that would like to talk to you. And I knew she meant etherically, that it wasn't a physical person. And when I turned around, I saw this beautiful kind of a tree-lined street from about 200 years ago. And then an old peasant woman was standing down the road for me. Short, white hair, beautiful blue piercing eyes, kind of a white baker's uniform. And as I looked at her, she kept getting closer to me. And to the side of my head, I saw my mother, who had just passed over. She had died maybe 5 or 6 months earlier. I don't really remember exactly. And she was standing next to me, and she was kind of crying. She said, Christine, I was not brave enough to take the gift as far as you need to take it, but please take our gifts and do the work. And so that's when I kind of knew that this was more than just a way of thinking, that this was my life calling. And what was very interesting that morning was I had heard, when you have a class like that, they have you set your daily intentions, and that what I had heard in my head was I would be a vessel of knowledge, and I saw all these beautiful silver and platinum goblets and water containers, and water was being poured to it. And that's not my normal habit of speech to say I'm a vessel of knowledge. So I just thought, okay, whatever that means. And when this ancestral lady, who I found out was an ancestor on my father's side, I found out later. So the intuitive gifts came in not only on my mother's side of the family, but on my father's side of the family too. And they were pouring the water into these goblets I had seen. So I knew there was something there. And as soon as I kind of woke up and said, yes, this is something I'm going to take forward. I'm not going to be afraid of being myself anymore. I'm not going to be afraid of being ridiculed or having my family have a mom and a wife that talk to dead people. It came in like riding a bike, Doug. The information just started pouring in, and I just started connecting to people instantaneously. And I've never looked back. It's been the best decision of my whole life.
That's pretty fascinating. How old were you at that point?
49. 48 or 49.
49.
Yeah.
Wow.
So a long time of not paying attention, right?
Yeah. And I gather your mother was psychic too, but you didn't know
she
that.
Was.
Is that right?
I did know it. I did know it. And she was psychic, and she was a pretty prominent lecturer, and she would help people. She talked a couple of local TV shows. She was always in the press. She traveled the country teaching people about how to connect to their own intuitive gifts, talked about angels. But when I was growing up in the 70s, it wasn't as well received as it is now. A lot of people thought it was come from an unholy source maybe, or they would attack my mom. I remember I got attacked in high school one time, physically attacked. And so I just kind of shut down and said, I don't really need to be that person. Even like
so you
the
never
work
used
that
the,
my mom was doing was really good.
Yeah, you never used this psychic ability you had when you were a teenager or when you were early in your 20s.
No,
and by the way, what did you do? What were you doing
in
your early life, your early career?
I was a stay-at-home mom a lot. I have two children.
Okay.
I stayed home, raised them. I had odd jobs here and there.
Okay.
The big picture is I suffered from depression a lot, which I think a lot of people can relate to. And the reason I had depression, I know now, looking back, because I wasn't being true to my own identity. I wasn't being true to who I was. I wasn't using all of me, right? So we all come in with different skills, talents, abilities. We all come in with a different energy signature. We come in with a purpose to life. And by ignoring that caused a lot of depression. Now I know what that is and how to not go there. I attribute it to somebody who's a great athlete or an artist or even someone who's gay and they can't explain, they can't show the world who they really are. And you're kind of living a false life. It doesn't mean I had a bad life. I had a wonderful life.
No, I understand. I think it's just amazing. You were 49 years old before you realized you had this unique ability. Let's find out now what you do. When you discovered this and you said you were going to follow this road, did you then just simply hang out a shingle and say, all right, I'm a psychic? And what was your intention as a psychic? What did you think you could do for people? What does one do when they discover this?
The first thing I did is I just let people know. I basically just let people know that I have this gift and I want to start using it for the better of all, whatever that meant. So the first, the people know, I said that I would do 100 readings for people just as a gift and a thank you for me waking up to who I am and recognizing that this is a big part of my life that I need to take forward. So just word of mouth. Another piece that was really, really important for me was I let my father's family know. He comes from a big family, and their acknowledgement and their backing was very important to me, that I was doing something outside of the normal wheelhouse. And to a T, all my aunts and uncles called me up and said, we love you, we support you, and we see this in you. So people had always told me that I had good intuition, that I had good advice, that I was loving and kind. But, you know, through most of us, Doug, don't really acknowledge that in ourselves. We have it's easier for us to see what's not working in our lives and what's missing in our, I don't want to say our personality, but, you know, we beat ourselves up a little bit. And so to have that confirmation from my father's family and to just, it was an instantaneous feeling of love. It was life transformation for me. It was a big, big deal for me. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I understand it. So you put out the word that you would do these 100 readings. That's 100 different people we're talking about.
100
not 100 readings
people,
on one person. Yeah.
Nope, 100
lots of
different people.
And the word got out.
It just a snowball. Word got out. It's just by word of mouth and referral. And my purpose for doing readings is not just to be people. When people think of psychic, they think that you're going to tell them something you already know, you're going to confirm things. And that's all very interesting and fun. If you can show up and say, oh, I can see that, you know, you live in a blue house and you married a man 15 years ago and you have 3 children and you have a dog named Spot, right? That's interesting, but doesn't really serve a purpose. So my readings have a, I don't know if it's a deeper meaning, but it has, there's normally a healing component, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically. We can move some energy out. We can find out why you've had these life experiences, maybe why you have continual continual patterns in your life where you can't move forward. We find the source of a trauma. We are able to clear that up. Sometimes just knowing how somebody else in your life, what their thoughts were at the time, especially for parents and children, because many times children are invisible and they're not really given the courtesy to have all the information when they're growing up. Parents protect them, or parents are perhaps in a bad spot themselves. So if kids can see it from a different angle, it's a major life experience. It's a way to change your life. So that's when I meet with somebody, that's the reason we meet.
You just brought up something in my mind. Were you saying, do you do readings for children?
I do.
Yes
I do
or
all
no?
ages. I do children. Yes, yes.
Are they old
children,
enough to comprehend
animals,
what this is all about?
You'd be surprised. Children are more tuned in than we are.
Wow.
So they will tell me what they're seeing, what they're hearing. And the greatest part is that I hold the space, and whatever information is best to come through is what comes through for that person. So it comes through at their level of awareness, what they need to hear. It comes in through in their language. Pictures come in that make sense to them. And that's something you always had. I had to learn too. Is it may not make sense to me, but it makes sense to the person that I'm in session with. But children are really connected to themselves.
Well, this is just such a fascinating subject. We're talking with Christine Scott. She is an intuitive psychic and medium based in Woodbury, Minnesota. But you work with folks on the telephone as well as in person, so it doesn't matter wherever anybody might be hearing this broadcast. They can still avail themselves of your of your psychic abilities because they can talk to you on the phone. And if they're in the Minnesota area, anywhere near you, they can come see you and you'll work with them in person. Is there any difference in what happens, the outcome, whether you do the reading with them in person or whether it's on the telephone and they're 1,000 miles away?
No difference at all because it's all energetic. None at all.
How do you make that connection
nice,
on the phone?
Nice to have people. The same way I do it in person. And I do not check, I call it checking in, but I will not read a person's energy or their life story or their information to them until they actually show up and give me permission. And then as soon as I sit down, I connect my high heart or my spirit because we keep all of our information in our hearts. And I could, maybe you could picture like an arc, like a radio wave from my body to theirs. And I just tune into their frequency. So it doesn't matter where we are.
You tune into their frequency. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you do that? How on earth does one do that? Yeah, is there a dial you're turning like
someday.
A channel on the TV? Or what?
it looks like a radio channel. And another thing that's interesting, Doug, is everybody has their own harmonics and their own sounds. So when I look at somebody, I'll see a light. I see their energy field, and it's a light, right? It almost looks like a column of light, and that's who the person is. But you also have a sound to your energy, so it sounds like a symphony, or it sounds like a rock band, or it sounds like ragtime. Everybody has, or something that I can't really explain, but you have a harmonics to your energy field, too. So I just connect to who you are, and then the information comes in, and it's how do we relate to your physical life, and how does this help you the most? Sometimes
okay,
it's more
let
mundane.
Me ask you-
I don't, yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going to ask you, what do most people come to you when they come to you for reading? What are they looking for? Are they looking for what their future is? Are they going to get a better job? Are they going to make more money? Are they going to find somebody to fall in love with? Are they healthy? What do they want?
About 20% come for something like that.
Okay.
Tell me my future. Tell me how to. You know, where's my next job? Where should I move to? And the interesting thing is when they come in for questions like that, we'll answer that question, and then we move on to a bigger picture. We'll move on to why is it difficult for you to change jobs? Why did you maybe what happened when you were 3 or 4? What happened when you were 35? And it's a way of opening up the life experience, and we just kind of move it because everybody – has things in their life that cause heartache or hurt. Some things are traumatic and some things are just a little bit more surface level, right? But they affect how we live right now because most people do not live in the moment. So we can just figure out that, then everything else gets moved out of the way. So sometimes they come in for something pretty basic, but it goes someplace else. Or they want to know how their pets are doing or how their kids are doing.
A logical question to ask is, how accurate are these answers that you give them? Do you hear from them later on? If you told somebody, well, there's a new job for you around the corner, it's going to be whatever, however much detail you give them, does it, for the most part, turn out to be true?
Right, and that's what I hear back from people. I hear back from probably about 70-80% of my people, 90%. And the thing is, when I'm giving a session or a reading, it's not my information to keep, so I don't always remember. But then someone will come back later and tell me, this is what happened. You said this was going to happen. I got a job this day. Or I met the man I'm supposed to marry. This cleared up. I got more help from you than I did in a couple of years of therapy, things like that. One story that pops to mind is I did a session with a single mom a couple of years ago. And she really needed to get out socially. And she wanted to know if she could go out Saturday night with some friends. First thing that came up, I said, no, you really can't go out Saturday night. It's not going to be fatal. It's not going to kill you or anything, but it's going to be very upsetting and disruptive to your life. And then I listened a little bit more, and they said, you know what, you can still go out Saturday night because we know you need to get out because you're a single mom. You need to socialize. But don't go out with group friends A and go to this social activity. Pick a different group of friends and go do something else. Sent her on her way, totally forgot about it. I saw her about 2 months later, and she said, oh, my gosh, I really should have listened to you. I said, why? What happened? She said, well, remember that night you told me not to go out with group A? I said, well, yes, I remember. I said, well, I didn't listen to you. And I went out, and I got a DUI, and $10,000 later, I'm still paying for it.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Sometimes
wow.
I hear,
wow.
you know, what didn't go right, and sometimes, and then mostly I hear what did go right.
If,
but that's
if
how
you,
I get
you're
the
doing
feedback.
A read-
People just let me know.
If you're doing a reading with somebody and you sense something bad, will you give them bad news?
I won't hear it unless there's a reason for them to hear it and that they're right here. So if I give something that's turned bad news, there's a reason we're giving it, and then what can we do about it? So is it something that needs to happen? Can we clear the energy so it doesn't happen for you? Is this repetitive things that's happening? Is there something you need? So it's not actually, that's a common question people ask me. They don't want me, they're afraid to come because they want me to tell them when they're going to die or some bad news. But there's never,
mm-hmm.
it's never just information and then I just leave you hanging.
Okay. I
there's
guess the other question is,
through. Yeah.
Do you think most people learn something that helps them in their life by going through a reading? Would is that?
I absolutely think
that's
that
a goal, I would think. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. Yep. And that's why you come, because you're stuck someplace in life. And it's not, I don't want to say it's the last resort. Some people it is the last resort because they don't believe in this at all. They think it's just a bunch of hooey. But they get those aha moments. They get those affirmations. They get a breakthrough. Their life changes dramatically. So absolutely.
Another question is, do you get these psychic feelings about someone whenever you encounter someone?
Very rarely.
I mean, do you go through a process with them when you start a reading? You know, sit down. All right, now you got to think. Go into a little trance or something like that.
I don't. It's an automatic.
It's automatic. For example, now when you. I was going to say, when you talk to somebody on the phone, and I only bring this up, but there's somebody waiting on the phone. I think they'd like to talk to you. They may have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would
okay.
you like to talk to them? You don't have to,
absolutely.
But would you like to?
No, I can talk to them.
All right, let's
to.
See what happens. Let's see if we're right. Let's bring a guest on and say, hi, you're on the line with Christine Scott. Are you still there? Hello?
Oh, hold on. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, what's your name?
Erica.
All right, Erica, you're on with Christine. Go ahead and talk to her. Ask what you want to find out.
So, yes. Erica, can you just your full birth name?
Yeah, it's December 4th.
Or maybe you don't want me to run radio. I'm sorry. Okay, I found out who you are. I'm sorry we're on the radio. I shouldn't have asked that. But okay, your name's Erica. How can I help you, honey?
Yeah, I just have a question. I am looking into getting braces, and I've been doing my homework as in terms of getting different quotes, and I'm interested in one that's it's $1,600 for a 6-month treatment, and I'm also getting something in writing so that they don't screw me over later and thinking like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I think it's like $2,000 more. And
right.
so I'm
yeah.
wondering if that one's the best route, or should I just keep looking?
Well, this is what I heard. First thing I heard is why so long, because this is really important to you. It's going to help with your self-confidence and your esteem. And you see yourself differently than other people do, but the braces will help you see yourself in a better light. It'll just be a little boost of confidence you need.
Mm-hmm.
And have you looked at more than three people? Because I heard it's the third one you're supposed to follow that doctor.
Oh.
I hear the price isn't too far off, but it's the third person you're looking at. And I won't ask names because we're on the radio, but does that make sense to you? It's not the first person. Is that who we're talking about, the first person?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the right one, honey.
Okay, so have I met with this one or not yet? Because I wanted to meet up with one at 2 o'clock, but it's probably not going to happen because I can't really drive there. But
the timing, yeah. I hear have a phone conversation. Just
uh-huh.
have a phone conversation, and you'll get a feeling if this feels the way they're going to talk to you is just going to make you feel more comfortable, and that unease is going to be gone, and you're going to know that this is the right person. I feel like the 2 o'clock person is the right person, and you just have to readjust your schedule to show up. And it feels like it's going to be probably 8 months or 9 months, not 6 months.
Oh, okay. And in terms of pricing, is it going to be like still affordable, or because I really like the 1600, it's just like
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, here's 1600 to 1800. Yep, here's eight. That's the prices. The price.
All right. Well, I'm going to cut that conversation off now because
you're
losing connection there.
Okay,
but anyway,
sure.
I see how you work. You were getting feelings, and you were telling her that the third person she talked to probably would be the best. That's pretty amazing. I mean, now she was asking you a very specific question about what dentist, you know, who's going to do her braces that would be the best for her. I guess you also get people coming, you know, talking about their marital relationships. It really covers the gamut. You never know what you're going to be asked, do you?
It's birth to death, right? It's the whole life experience, right? And so we'll go into past lives, continuous lives, how that, what's happened in a past soul history, soul memory, how that's affecting what's going on now. I'm so lucky that I get to do the work I do. It is fascinating,
you know, I should also
and every story is different.
I should also ask you about contacting people who have, as you put it, gone to the other side. Is that something that a lot of people want to come talk to you about, called maybe a parent or a close friend who died recently? Do you generally have luck making contact with them?
I do. Sometimes it's if the grief is really, really strong, which of course makes sense because you're grieving, but it depends on the person that's passed over. Normally it's an instantaneous, we have a connection, and there's something the person needs to tell. Mostly people want to know, is the other person who passed on okay? And they are. They're fine. But if they've been in a long illness, the soul's energy has to go into a healing process. So it's a little, we have to kind of wake them up and ask them to come to us instead of them just showing up. But it's an instantaneous connection all the time. Sometimes, I shouldn't say
well,
that. I'm sorry. It's a connection, yeah. And it's very healing for people.
And you've had the opportunity, obviously, to contact your own mother, right?
I had. My mom comes through a lot. My dad comes through a lot. Actually, my dad died when I was 25, so it's been a long time. He shows up a lot. He's sitting with me here right now, he's my cheerleader. My mom shows up. We've done a lot of healing work for her. One of the, this is a great story, Doug. It's one of my favorite stories. We had a personal friend who died when he was 32, and maybe 50 years later, his father passed on, but I didn't physically know that his dad had died yet. I was sitting in Wendy's parking lot, and his dad showed up in my front seat after he'd already passed over, so it just kind of looks like a ghostly figure of his dad, right? I'm like, hey, how are you doing? He says, well, I passed over this morning. I said, okay. He says, you need to go to my home and talk to my family. And in my head, I'm thinking, well, one, I don't know if was your body still there or are you gone? And they don't know that I do this work. So I wasn't real keen on just running over there and talking to them. He says, but you need to go talk to my wife right away. So I got in my car and I drove over. I walked in. I said, hi, I hear your husband passed over. She goes, well, how did you know? I said, well, I just need to tell you that this is the work I do. And he showed up and he has a message for you. And turned out her children were also there. And he wanted them to know that he died when he was about 85, I think. He was very, very devout religious man. And he said, I want you to know that I lived my whole life, and I thought that if I lived the right way, I did the right things, if I was a good husband, a good man, a good employee, if I was very lucky, I'd look into the eyes of God. He says, I want you to know, and he had me actually holding on his wife's hands and looking at her face, and it kind of shifted from me talking to her to her husband talking to her. I want you to know that when I fell in love with you, the day we got married, the day that I held each child's hand, I saw the face of God. So basically, he was just letting his family know that love is what it's all about. And he had other things.
That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted them to know. Ah. Christine, you're absolutely fascinating to talk to. I must tell you, we could go on and on. We're almost out of time. We have about 30 seconds left.
Doug. Yeah, good.
I wanted to thank you so much. I want everybody to know your website is called yourtrueidentity.com. Yourtrueidentity.com. And that's how people can learn more about you, get in touch with you. Christine Scott is her name. She lives in Woodbury, Minnesota, where, again, it's freezing today. So I hope you get better weather tomorrow. Christine, thank you for being our guest. It's been delightful chatting with you. Okay?
Great. Thank you, Doug. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. All right. That's it for today, everybody. I love this subject. Great subject. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time right here on Close Up Talk Radio. Bye for now, and have a great day wherever you are. See you.